Well, in the event you haven't noticed, this year is filled with purpose and intent. We began in January with a sermon series called Follow Me, in which we looked at the four stages of discipleship. And we understand that the call of Jesus is not just to be a Christian, but it's to come and see, come and follow me, and then to become fishers of men so we can make disciples and bear much fruit. We saw that God uses ordinary people to do His extraordinary work. God uses everybody that is willing to give their lives in service to Him. We saw that the early believers were devoted to four things. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals together, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And then over the last few weeks, with a little yippee-i-oh-ki-yay, we looked at some of the mindset of many people and how they look at the Christian message. Good people go to heaven, right? Well, that's not it. Bad people go to hell, right? No, that's not it, because then none of us could go. But it's forgiven people who have a relationship with Jesus to make it to heaven. But if you can remember back to January, at the conclusion of the Follow Me series, I issued a challenge that I'm going to keep reminding you of throughout the year. In the final message of that series, we looked at the Great Commission, and we saw that Jesus calls us as His disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything He commanded. But the task is so great, and for many of us, we get stuck in that second chair of discipleship where we become followers of Jesus and we believe in Him, but we never make it to the next stage of becoming fishers of men. And so I challenged the whole church family with this prayer this year. God, I may not be able to win the world. I admit that. I acknowledge that. But Lord, help me to bring one person to a saving faith of Christ this year. And we called it Each One, Bring One. And I want to put this at the forefront of your mind again, because this will be a theme that will run throughout this year. But we can't do this in our own strength. In fact, apart from the Lord, we can do nothing. But my encouragement was to ask you to pray that the Lord help you do this. And so that's why I felt it was important at this stage of the year to have an emphasis on prayer. I call this series Prayer Force.
What if the armies of the Lord picked up and dusted off their swords, vowed to set the captive free and not let Satan have one more? What if the church, for heaven's sake, finally stepped up to the plate, took a stand upon God's promise and stormed hell's rusty gates? What if His people prayed and those who bear His name would only seek His face, yeah, and turn from their own way?
If my people call by my name.
So over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to encourage all of us to aim high and join the prayer force. Now, I don't know about you, but I grew up in a family where we learned to pray. Was that your experience too? We would sit around the dinner table, and when my brother and I were little, my parents taught us to pray this prayer. God is great, God is good, and we... Oh, you did it too. Or at bedtime, we would kneel down by the side of the bed and say, now I lay me, I pray the Lord, if I should die before I wake. You did it too. And you know, those are great ways to teach young children concepts of prayer. But if that's all the farther our prayers go, is that really pleasing to our Father who loves us and listens? If you sought to have a continuing relationship with your children, and every time you tried to talk to them, they'd say back the same two or three sentences, regardless of what you were saying, how would that make you feel? So I'd like to talk in this series a little bit more about how to make our prayers more real as a part of this relationship with our Father. In the year 2015, the Kendrick brothers came out with a movie called War Room. How many of you saw that? And it was on the power of prayer. And when you see the title War Room and the little targeting thing there, you're kind of thinking about a battlefield. But if you saw the movie, the war room was actually this little lady's closet where she went to pray. And it was the war room because she was appealing to God to help in the spiritual warfare that was going on. The Kendrick brothers have written and produced several amazing movies, but for War Room, they also came out with a companion product called The Battle Plan for Prayer. And as I was reading it, I got to chapter 3, and the opening line in chapter 3, it said this, "Prayer is not about prayer." And I'm like, what? I need to read that again. And I did, and you know what? It said the same thing. So it intrigued me. I read the chapter to find out what they were talking about, and they used this example. Most of us today carry around one of these. Now, a cell phone or a smartphone is not about the phone, right? But it's a tool. It helps us to communicate with other people. But if you just carry it around and never turn it on, if you just carry it around and you never contact anybody, you see, it's not about the phone. It's about what it allows you to do. So as we talk about what prayer is, I want to kind of follow their example and talk about what prayer is not. And I have a few things I'd like to propose to you. Prayer is not sitting quietly with your eyes closed, trying to empty your head of all conscious brain activity, okay? That's not prayer. Prayer is not repeating the same words over and over and over and over again. Prayer is not lighting a candle. Prayer is not that politically correct moment of silence that's supposed to be a substitute for public praying. That's not what prayer is. What is prayer? At its very heart, prayer is simply communicating with our Heavenly Father. It's talking with God. It's interacting with Him reverently, openly, and directly as the Creator and Sustainer of our lives. That's the basic definition of prayer. So in this series, I'm going to ask four questions, and today's question is, what is the purpose of prayer? Well, some people ask this question. If God truly is all-knowing and all-powerful, and He is, and if God really is sovereign over all creation, and He is, why should I pray? If He knows everything and can do everything and He's in control of everything, what difference does it make? Why should I pray? And then some people go to the extent of asking, well, golly, is God some kind of a magical genie ready to grant my every wish?
Had a friend like me.
Wouldn't it be great to have somebody that was at your beck and call like that? Someone that you can call anytime you're in trouble to get you a get out of jail free card? Is God like this magical genie? Will He give me everything I need? Will He give me everything I want? Boy, that sounds like a pretty good deal, doesn't it? And you know, there is a segment of Christianity that teaches that. And it's not without some reason, because the Apostle John recorded some pretty interesting statements that Jesus made in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of his gospel. Now, the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John tend to be more what they call the synoptic gospels, which means it's a synopsis of what happened. First this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and then this happened, and you can kind of follow the timeline. The Gospel of John is different. The Gospel of John isn't so much focused on the activities of Jesus, but it's focused on the teaching of Jesus. And so John paid very close attention and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote some of the most significant teaching passages that are recorded in Scripture about the things Jesus said. And I want you to look at some of these passages that talk about what Jesus said about prayer. The first one is in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. And look at this. He says, "You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Man, I like the sound of that. Then in John 15, verses 5 to 7, he says, "Yes, I'm the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Once again, I like the sound of that. Then again in John 15:16, I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. Wow! And then in John 16:23-24, at that time you won't need to ask me for anything. I tell you the truth, you will ask the Father directly and he will grant your request because you use my name. You haven't done this before. Ask using my name and you will receive and you will have abundant joy. And then in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18 verses 19 and 20, Jesus said, I'll also tell you this, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. Once again, that's pretty amazing. Matthew 21, 18 to 22, the disciples were amazed when they saw this and asked, how did that fig tree wither so quickly? Then Jesus said, I tell you the truth, if you have faith and don't doubt, you can do things like this and much more. You can even say to this mountain, you may be lifted up and thrown into the sea and it will happen. You can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. I like that, don't you? Sounds pretty amazing. But this has led to a false teaching that is very prevalent today that is called the prosperity gospel. And there are preachers and Bible teachers who teach that when you read passages like this, it means God wants you to be healthy and God wants you to be wealthy. All you have to do is believe and receive and you can have that golden life as if God was that magical genie. In fact, a few years ago, about the same time that the War Room movie came out that talked about the tenacity of prayer, there was another book that came out that was called The Prayer of Jabez. Did any of you hear it? It's actually based on an Old Testament passage, 1 Chronicles 4:9-10, and it was used to reinforce this prosperity gospel. The passage goes like this. There was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, "Oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain." And the most amazing part is, it says that God granted him his request. So he did become healthy and wealthy. And isn't that what most of us want? So when that book came out, it tickled an awful lot of ears because it's what people wanted to hear. It's how they wanted to approach and experience God. So let's talk about the elephant in the room, okay? So what does it mean then if I ask God for something in Jesus' name but nothing happens? What does that mean? What if God doesn't answer my prayers the way I want them to be answered? Does that mean he doesn't love me or care for me? And I don't know of a family here this morning that hasn't had some moment of crisis, maybe an illness, a loved one who was sick, a child who was sick. Maybe you've lost a job and you've prayed and you've asked God and it seems like God wasn't there and he didn't listen and he didn't answer the prayer the way I wanted. Maybe there's been a broken relationship between you and another family member and you've prayed, God, fix this, and it didn't happen. Does that mean that God doesn't love me or care for me? Because boy, those scriptures sure sounded like a sure thing, didn't they? Well, there's a man named John Eldridge who wrote a book called Moving Mountains that was about this passage on prayer. And in this book, he shared something that I'd like to share with you that kind of helped me make sense of this. He said, yes, God is sovereign. And in his sovereignty, he created a world in which the choices of men and angels matter. Tremendously, he has granted us the dignity of causation, as Pascal called it. Our choices have enormous consequences. Prayer is not as simple as, I asked, God didn't come, I guess he doesn't want to. The rest of the book is pretty amazing, but I want to take a departure from that to connect us with something that was actually popular in our culture a few years ago in the movie theaters. And the movie was called Bruce Almighty. Did any of you see it? The storyline is that his life is royally messed up, and he thinks that if he was in charge and he could call the shots, things would be a lot better. And so he has a meeting with God. God was going to give him the opportunity to see if he could do any better. And there's a segment of this movie that deals with prayer. And so I want you to check this out.
What about the voices in my head? Is that part of the hilarity?
No, those are prayers. And you keep ignoring them, they're going to build up on you like that.
But it's just noise. I can't understand them.
You're not listening, son. Let's see. You've had my powers for a little over a week now. How many people have you helped?
You know, I took care of a few things. I righted a few wrongs in my own life first, okay? I was gonna help the others. I think I could help the world.
The world?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the world. That was just Buffalo between 57th Street and Commonwealth.
Huh.
I didn't want to start you off with more than you can handle.
Well, you took your job, Bruce, so I suggest you get to it.
Prayers, okay, prayers. This creepy whisper thing has to earn you for organization and management. That's what I need. I need a system, something concrete. Concentrate. Files. Let all prayers be organized into files.
Well, that takes care of the voices.
Not exactly a space saver, though.
Grace might notice.
I know. Prayer post-its!
Okay, I need something with a lock. Security, combination, a password.
You've got prayers.
Welcome to the Revelation Superhighway. We bless, no mess. Downloading now.
It's good.
This is gonna take a while.
Prayer requests.
I better manifest some coffee.
Yes to all prayers. Now everyone's happy. And if you saw the movie, everyone wasn't happy. So what is the purpose of prayer? Is it to get everything I want? I don't think so. What does the Bible say about the purpose of prayer? Well, prayer is communion and communication with God in order to do, I think, three things. The first is to intimately know, love, and worship Him. That's where it starts. In Gospel of John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23, this is the longest recorded prayer of Jesus in the Bible. And he's praying to God and he's talking about his disciples. And he said, I'm praying not only for these disciples, the people that were with him, but for all who will ever believe in me through their message. And that's us. He says, I pray that they will all be one just as you and I are one. And you are in me, Father, and I am in you. May they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I've given them the glory you gave me so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. You see, prayer is not just about talking, but it's also about listening. There is a song that you may be familiar with that reminds me of this. It's called In the Garden. Do you know that one? Sing along with me. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I love thinking about the words to that song because, you know, it is talking about prayer, isn't just talking, but it's listening. Because I come to the garden alone, I'm by myself, but yet I hear this voice falling on my ear, and it's the Lord. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I'm his, I belong to him. And we share this amazing joy together. And he speaks to me and he gives me a melody that rings in my heart throughout the day. That's the kind of intimacy our Heavenly Father wants to have with us. And that song reminds us of that. So what is the purpose of prayer? First of all, it's to intimately know, love, and worship him. I think a second thing is it helps us recognize our daily dependence on him. You know, we like here in America to be self-sufficient, don't we? And many of us saw how much that worked this past year. But we are to recognize our daily dependence on him. There's an amazing historical account in the book of Exodus to show God's taking care of his people and that they could daily depend on him. When the Israelites left Egypt and they were in the desert, God provided daily sustenance for them in something that he called manna. And the manna appeared on the ground, kind of like dew in the morning, and you picked up just enough for the day, and it sustained the people. If they took more than they needed and tried to keep it for the next day, what happened? It spoiled. And the only time there was an exception was the day before the Sabbath, so they didn't have to work on the Sabbath, and they could take for 2 days. But that taught the people as they traveled through the desert, they could count on God. They could depend on him each day. In fact, in the Lord's Prayer in the New Testament, Jesus said this line, I bet you'll know it, in Matthew 6:11, give us this day our what? Daily bread. He didn't say, hey, get everything for the week or the month or the year. Just daily. And God was teaching them to physically depend on him, but we are also to spiritually depend on him. In fact, at the end of chapter 6 of Matthew, in verses 31 to 33, Jesus says, don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat, what will we drink, what will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. So what are we supposed to do? Verse 33 says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. He didn't say he'll give you everything you want, but he said he'll give you everything you need. So what is the purpose of prayer? It's to intimately know, love, and worship God. It's to help us recognize our daily dependence on him. And I think the third purpose of prayer is to conform our lives to his will and his ways. Let me explain. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, you may know this passage. God is calling his people to come back, and he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. That's the heart of God. When His people try to connect with Him in such a way that conforms the way they live to His will, He will bless. In fact, the other part of the Lord's Prayer I'm sure you're familiar with, Matthew 6:10, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, Jesus taught us to pray that God's will be done on earth, and He wouldn't teach us to ask that if it was already being done. And all you have to do is look around and see that God's will isn't being done here. It is being done in heaven, but it's not being done here. So He taught us to pray that His will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. But probably the best illustration of seeking to do the Lord's will comes from Jesus Himself in the Garden of Gethsemane the night He was betrayed. It's after the Passover meal. Judas has gone to connect with the Jewish religious leaders. Jesus takes His disciples out to the garden to pray. And I'd like you to open your Bibles with me to Matthew 26 to see what He says. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, this is on page 779. I want to start in verse 39, read through 42. Matthew records this. He, speaking of Jesus, went on a little further and bowed with His face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want Your will to be done, not mine." Then He returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you watch with me even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, Your will be done." And so Jesus submitted Himself to the will of the Father. And at its heart, this is the example, the Son submitting to the Father in the same way Jesus asks us to follow His example and submit our wills to our Heavenly Father as well. And I can't think of a better time to think about celebrating the Lord's Supper together. The next day, Jesus did indeed drink from the cup of suffering as they marched Him up the hill of Golgotha and nailed Him to that tree. But as we spend time preparing our hearts for communion just now, I want you to focus on part of this prayer that Jesus prayed and see if it's true in your heart, in your life. Do you want God's will to be done in your life more than your own? That's a hard question, isn't it? But I want you to focus on what Jesus said and ask yourself, can I pray that prayer too, with integrity? Think about these things as we pray. Father God, we don't really understand Your plan, but we thank You that Your Word tells us plainly about the Lamb of God who came to shed His blood to take away our sins. And we know that Jesus prayed that this cup of suffering could be taken from Him, but He wanted Your will more than to push His own. And that's a difficult thing for us to consider in our lives, and yet it's exactly what You ask us to do. So we want to say thank You, Lord Jesus, for taking the cup of suffering. Thank You for resisting Your own will and that You willingly gave Your life, a perfect life, to make the payment for our sins. And as we are the grateful recipients of Your love and grace and mercy, help us during this time when we reflect on the sacrifice. Are we living lives that reflect Jesus' willingness to put His own will aside and to follow the will of the Father? We thank You so much for this bread that represents Jesus' body and this cup that represents His blood. Help us reflect on His sacrifice and our willingness to follow the will of the Father as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're invited to participate with us in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Lord Jesus, thank you for submitting to the Father's will. Help us to follow your example so that we can communicate with him, both talking and listening, in a way that helps us conform our will to his. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the purpose of prayer, it's about having communion and communication with God in order to intimately know, love, and worship him. It's to help us recognize our daily dependence on him, no matter how self-sufficient we think we are. And it's to conform our lives to his will and his ways, and that's why he doesn't always give us everything that we want. He loves us too much to do that. 1 John 5:14, the apostle says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything, how? According to his will, he hears us." And I think that's the key. My challenge for you this week is going to be pretty easy, I think. I just want you to focus on the first purpose of prayer, to intimately know, love, and worship him. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. Have a special time of prayer this week. It could be once, you could do it a few times this week, you could do it every day. But I want you to spend time talking and listening to him without asking him for anything. Just strive to know him. Just strive to love him. Just strive to worship him. That will build our intimacy with our Heavenly Father. It will help us do the other things to recognize our dependence and to conform our will for his, but it starts here. That's my challenge for you this week. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you for being the God who hears us, the God who listens, as the song said that we sang right before the message. And we know that you crave that intimacy with your children. I was so glad after a year of not having seen my kids and grandkids to have that time with them, and I relished every hug and every exchange of I love you. And that's really the kind of thing you want to experience with us. And you want us to know you and love you and worship you, not because we have to, but because you are Abba, you are our daddy, and we love you. So help us this week as we build that intimacy with you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you to stand just now. We have a sermon response song, The River.
I know a place where we can go to lay the troubles down, eating your soul.